Peter Cope is here from Attack Theater, and also we have Dave Edgar and Charles Palmer. And we're going to lead off with the song, but then we're going to talk about this production called Assemble This. I think that's the right way to say it. Assemble. Assemble this. Assemble this.
Assemble this.
Yeah, I could see lots of ways of looking around at this, but let's, before we talk, let's take a listen. Dave Edgar and Charles Palmer. Saturday Light Brigade, and they're representing Attack Theater, and it's a production of Assemble This, which opened last night. Cellist Dave Egger and percussionist Charles Palmer. Dave, was that a lot of that had to be improvised, I think.
It was indeed. We sort of segmented.
Hang on, let's get your mic at least.
Can you hear me now?
There we are.
Perfect.
Okay.
Got to be extremely.
Nah, it was boring. Us, I think. Us, not you. Go
ahead. Yes, that was improv, which was very much in the spirit of assemble this. And then we segued into Bach very briefly and then segued back out of it, back into some bluegrass improv. Assemble This is a show that we're going to be doing over the next 2 weeks in, well, quite a few museums here in Pittsburgh. Peter, what are some of the museums that we're going to be...
Peter Cope's here, too, and I've got the list here if you don't. You probably have it in your head.
No, I don't have it in my head.
But you're going to be at Space, a new place over on Liberty Avenue.
Yeah, that's where we opened last night. That was last night's opening event.
Hang on. We're all sorts of little interesting mic issues. Let's try this one.
We'll try that one.
There we go.
Yeah, so we did open up at Space last night, which was a crazy, really wonderfully fun, exciting. And the artwork was all by local Pittsburgh artists.
Cool.
And so that was pretty great. And then we're going to be over at Pittsburgh Center for the Arts. And starting on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, we'll be at the August Wilson Center here downtown. And then Friday, we'll be back out at the Frick Art and Historical Center, which is going to be really cool because they've got a really great New Deal exhibition that's going on there. And then Saturday, we're at Mattress Factory. And then Sunday, next Sunday, we're back here at the Children's Museum.
Yeah, that's going to be neat. I may just have to... Sunday is my day of rest for being here at the Children's Museum, since I'm here every other day. But I think I'd like to be there. And then it's to the Strip, right?
And then it's back, yeah, to the Strip District at Society for Contemporary Craft, which got a really cool exhibition of ceramic art. And then we close at the Andy Warhol Museum, kind of the tried and true, so to speak.
Now, who are the other people on stage for this?
Well, what we do is each performance is going to have between 2 and 5 performers. So it's myself, Michelle DeLoreza, who's the co-artistic director, and then we have Liz Chang, Ashley Williams, and Dane Tony are the other 3 dancers. And then, of course, Dave and Charlie are making the mojo happen with the sound.
Well, it's really neat. And then there's a bit of audience collaboration too, right?
There's actually quite a lot. What happens with Assemble This is that at the beginning of the evening, we actually present a sort of a skeleton you can think of. It's a sort of a half-formed piece of music and dance. You know, it has a structure, it has some engaging components, but the story isn't complete, it doesn't have enough emotion. And then as we move through the different galleries of the museum, the audience interprets the different visual things that they see. And as a result, they help us to create, by the end of the hour, a completely formed piece of music and choreography. And actually, one of the things I wanted to try with you today, Maestro, is I wanted to actually see what would happen if we did a little exercise like that right here on the radio.
Well, I'm game for it.
You should try that. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play a little piece of music that's about a couple minutes long. And then we're going to see if you can help us spice it up a little bit.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Okay.
Let's try it.
How am I going to spice it up? You'll tell me.
Well, that's part of Assemble This.
Okay. You have to be patient.
Okay.
Here we go. So our basic structure sounds a little bit like this.
I was a lot wider awake at 7.
Start out. Play a little something like that, and then we might say, let's look around the studio for a second, and I'm going to pick as my work of art this screen, and I'm going to ask Peter to ask you some questions about this screen that no one listening to us is seeing, but perhaps we can help them to see it.
Take a look at the screen. I mean, what do you see? What stands out to you?
Levels,
all right, so we got levels. What else is gonna? What else do you see in this screen?
Red and lines and time.
Lines and time. Red lines and time.
Graphs and knobs.
Graphs. It's a very exciting screen.
Graphs and knobs.
Graphs,
levels,
knobs, lines,
and
levels.
Times.
All right. Well, let's just start with that for a second, Dave.
Right. So, for example, what we might do in the piece, and it's a little more clear when you can see the dancers as well, is we might go, okay, Peter, let's do an improvisation about levels. Okay?
Brilliant. Well, since it's the radio, why don't you take it over, and we'll do it as a music insert. I'll dance it, though, honestly, right now.
Oh, yeah. Dance in
I'll dance
head.
It.
Dance
you guys...
right here in the studio, because it'll give us some inspiration.
I dance better on the radio than anywhere.
Might do is to actually take our improvisation about levels and we'll insert it back into the original structure that you already heard originally. And then throughout the hour, what happens is that we keep adding levels and levels of this till the piece becomes increasingly more complex and tells a more and more interesting story.
And because you're in these spaces, you might even be able to move to different levels, I would think.
Exactly.
Yeah, each of the galleries or each of the spaces is completely unique, and every place that we're in, every museum, every gallery, is a completely different footprint, and we're traveling different places and doing different things, and sometimes the musicians are moving about, and sometimes we're moving about, and sometimes we play, and sometimes they dance, and we haven't sung yet, so.
Well, this is actually, the more I think about this, and I'm glad we're doing this, because you got to get your head around what's going on. I mean, if you already love Attack Theater, you kind of know that you're going to get something really great. But what's happening here then is I can picture you might have Peter or Michelle or the other dancers demonstrating levels however they seem to fit. And it could be, you know, maybe a level like a carpenter's level leaning the one way or leaning the other way.
Exactly.
Or it could be moving up and down. And Dave, as he was playing, was kind of, I think you were doing this consciously, but he was sort of making himself a little more erect and taller and scrunching down a little bit. And he was also all up and down the neck
of
the cello. So.
One of the pieces that, one of the improvisations that came out from last night's event was someone was talking about passing particles, forcing particles back and forth between two objects. And so that turned into a trio for Liz and Dane and I. And we were literally tossing Liz back and forth between us hugely, like flying about the space, completely improvisationally. And then we inserted that back into the dance as well.
Improvisational dance has got to be tough. I know it's your job to make it look easy, but that's, no offense to the musicians, I would think there are some clues and signals you can give to each other, but it's not like one of you is going to fall or hurt yourself if you drop
one
of those.
You never know. Last night, actually, we ended up having some very powerful moments in the space.
It was wonderful moments.
Well, one of the things that's fun is that at certain times, the lines between musicians and dancers are blurred.
Oh.
So actually, some of the improvs last night involved actually Charlie kicking over all of his percussion equipment and me handing my cello to a member of the audience and asking him to play. So there could actually be some very ribaldous and crazy things that happen along the way.
Interesting. So. And this is, for the person who might prefer to just observe, to be a wallflower, they're welcome, right?
Absolutely. You can, the nice thing about this project is you can actually engage with it at any level you choose. You can
levels.
Sit and watch levels. You can actually knob it, too, and dial it.
Yeah, knob it, dial it,
read it up. but you can sit and you can participate. You can watch. Generally speaking, no one's going to have to dance. I mean, no one's expected to dance.
I know from experience that there's some people that worry about, you know, I don't want to have to participate. I just want to. But so that's good. But some people probably show up thinking that, and then they end up getting engaged anyway.
Yeah, we just like to have people in the audience to interact with. Yeah. And our level of interacting oftentimes is simply being in a room with someone else is a great way to interact and feel their energy and feel the relationship that's developing between performer and audience.
It's pretty fun. We had a lot of people last night who I think there's actually past passes to the event where you can come to all of them, I believe, right?
Yeah, you can get a...
Actually, we have quite a few people last night who were like, I want to come over and over again, because actually it's so fun because every day is in a different museum.
Yeah.
And every performance is completely different and gets kind of out of control and crazy in a completely different way. It's very exciting to just be able to be part of that.
And really cool to develop relationships with your audience that are kind of long-term, relatively.
It's also great to develop these relationships with all the partner organizations that we're working with. And that's been wonderful. When we first approached people, we're like, oh, this might not go over very well. But everyone's like, yeah, no, we'd love to help. We'd love to be part of it. And so we were really grateful for our partners who are...
I may need to be here Sunday, depending on where you are. We'll open up the studio and bring all these toys.
Was curious about, as I was looking around the room, as far as another improvisation, just kind of give us a little scale of things. We've had levels. Yeah. That was really cool. Now, over here on Larry's coffee... Our teacup.
Oh yeah,
is actually the little RCA Victor dog.
Yeah. Oh, I love that image.
Yeah.
Can you? So this is the little gramophone with the dog listening to this big speaker.
Yeah, his master's voice or her master's voice. That's Nipper. Nipper the dog.
And I'm curious if you guys could actually do an improvisation inspired by that.
By that picture. What aspect of the picture is inspired to you, Peter?
Well, I'm curious about the look of curiosity and the difference between the look of curiosity and the sound that might be emanating from that, causing that curiosity.
Okay. So an improv about curiosity.
Yes.
You know what I'm actually going to do? I'm going to do something different than that.
Good.
I'm actually going to do something that we call in the process an overlay. And what an overlay is taking existing material and giving it a character that changes it. So, for example, the beginning of the piece that we were playing... just kind of stoic and strange. I'm going to give it an overlay, we'll call it an overlay, blah, blah, of curiosity. Let's see what that does. Something like that.
We never knew that was all inside of this little
box. All inside of the RCA dog. Awesome. Cool.
Oh, it's amazing. You've got to have just a ball doing this.
Oh, I love it. It's amazing.
Have you done anything like this quite like this before?
No, definitely not. The level of improv and the excitement that occurs on stage and is something very new, very exciting for me. So I love it.
Now, this is kind of a strange question. And that was Charles Palmer, by the way, Dave Egger and Peter Cope all here. And I think having a run this, this many performances this close together, you would probably end up having this performance environment with you all the time. Do you find yourself like observing things? Like as you might be riding the bus to get from one place to another and you see something and all of a sudden you're thinking, wow, I wonder what I could do with that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It is a challenge too when we did one where the word was squishy and I'm playing on a cajon, which is these, you know, a box of wood.
It's kind of the anti-squishy.
Yeah, thought, what can I do here to make it squishy? And Dave actually gave me a really helpful hint to say, you know, give a groove or a, you know, certain rhythm or something, even if it is a little angular on this box that could, you know, facilitate some squishy movement by the dancers or
can,
something.
Can you do that?
Let's do something squishy.
Give us a squishy.
I don't think of a dancer as being squishy unless... Peter's got like his knees bent and he's arched on his back, kind of doing this, you know, dance.
A little slinky
thing.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Soft slinky.
Well, it is fun, and another thing that's really interesting about it is in a normal kind of show, you have a sequence of performances, and the show sort of grows, and you get more familiar. With this one, obviously, rehearsing it is difficult, and, you know, we practice improvisation, but we can't really run sections of the show. But it's going to be really interesting to see how the show matures and how our dynamic as performers matures as we run these things. And you do become really aware not only of art in the environment everywhere, like that wall or the screen, as we said, but also of the relationship between the art forms. And that's a big part of the piece, in a way, is to help the viewer to understand how different genres approach the same kinds of problems. You know, how does music approach squishy? That's kind of a hilarious word, but how would dance approach it? How does visual art approach it? And so the improvisations can be humorous, like we just did, but they can also be very heartbreaking and sad as we tell these different stories that people see in the paintings that we're working with.
Who conceptualized this? Is this you, Peter, or Michelle?
Michelle and I actually put this together along with Gary Pletch. Back in 1997 or so, I think. Originally, it was commissioned first by the Carnegie Museum of Art for an exhibition called Made in America. And they wanted us to create some type of event that brought together, like Dave said, the visual arts, the audience, and movement in the galleries. And we actually then changed the format a bit when we brought Dave in, we brought live music into it. And we have just been freshening it and trying it in different places. We've performed this, we did 23 shows in Avignon, France, and different places, walking along the street and things like that.
That's
we've
great.
Performed it in Musée Oceanographique in Monaco.
In
the aquarium, yeah. With a giant fossil.
With a huge 200-foot-high aquarium as one of the pieces of art.
Wow.
It's like one of the biggest aquariums.
Dave was standing
world
in front
there.
Of the thing, and you'll never believe all it's these incredible. Fish.
Sharks were like, I was playing cello, and there were sharks converging all over me.
Run, Dave, run.
Run, yes. You almost could see this being like a standing, you know, Saturday night gig somewhere where it ends up taking a life of its own, like Second City or some other improv group where it becomes, you know, a marquee. That might make it way less special to have it be that regular, but I could really see.
Well, really,
folks,
I mean, it's
getting
the,
into
it's the
it.
Challenge. The yeah. challenge of it for us as performers is, and for us as a company, is, you know, how do we take advantage of this wonderful relationship between art, music, and dance, and keep it alive, keep it fresh, keep it engaging, both for us, but also for, you know, our participants, our viewers, and we'd love to be able to take this project, different cities, kind of sit down someplace, do 6 days in a row, and just boom.
What are you finding in terms of age or just overall demographics in terms of the audience?
Well, last night we had our youngest audience member last night was probably 11, I think.
Right.
And our oldest audience member was clearly octogenarian.
Octogenarian, yeah. For sure.
And that's one of the things, and I may be...
with a huge, you know, we had a bunch of, we had the hipsters, we had, it was all over the map. Really, it was literally all over the map.
I may be projecting a little bit, but I mean, that's what, you know, we do here in terms, you know, we believe in the broadcasting, broad still means
that's
why they came up with that word. And you can actually entertain people or bring people together from different backgrounds. And I think this would be a perfect production to do that. So it's a really good chance for you to meet people, and I'm sure. Gosh, what a great date this would be! Or just a great.
It's a great date. Bring your date.
Yeah.
It's a great date.
I'm not doing a show on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, but
awesome.
Very good. Well,
should we
know,
play another music selection?
Yeah.
I'd love to play one thing from the CD.
Sure.
And one thing that's been great about Attack Theater is it's given us an opportunity to develop so much new music of late. And actually, Charlie and I have been working on a record, mostly down in Jamaica, the island of Jamaica, in Kingston, which is coming out soon. And we're actually going to play a track which is called It's Been Real from that record.
Mm-hmm. Great. Here it is. Thank you. Wow. That's music from Dave Egger and Charles Palmer, who are here along with Peter Cope representing Attack Theater. And the next production of Assemble This is going to be at Pittsburgh Center for the Arts. That's the next one, which is coming up on Tuesday, I believe.
Yeah, Tuesday the 16th.
And that's at 7, and then August Wilson Center.
Well, we actually, on the Tuesday, we're actually going to do a concert at 7 o'clock. It's a special preview concert with Dave and Charlie, kind of as a special feature prior to the actual performance starting. It's a little pre-show reception and a special concert for an extra little ticket buy.
Yeah, let me really suggest go to attacktheater.com, theater with an R-E, because really there's such a rich listing of venues. And you can link straight from slbradio.org. If you go there, we've linked to their itinerary. We have about 4 minutes of radio time to do something cool with. What do you want to do?
I think we should do another improvisation.
Okay.
All right.
And what I'm going to look at, I'm looking for a piece of art here in your studio, or what I could consider to be a piece of art.
Well, there's some up there, but they're hard to see.
What about that mass of wires at your feet?
I like this. Yeah, I like this huge coil of wires. I would like to consider that an art installation piece
by me,
because I decided that it was art, so it is.
So, Dave, what do you see?
What do I see? I see confusion. I see technology and art colliding.
I saw spaghetti.
Spaghetti. I like that. I like that. I like that.
Cool. So do you think maybe perhaps you could do something along the lines of a spaghetti, maybe a nice Italian dinner that collides in a technological sort of
spaghetti with an overlay of occasional chaos. And Larry, I'm actually going to ask you to do something very strange, which is I'm actually going to ask you to play piano with us and represent the chaos in this, because I'm going to be playing some spaghetti music on the cello. Would you do that?
I can do
that. So let me start a little, and then you're going to be the chaos. Here we go.